It is Tuesday, and it's sunny and beautiful, 84 right now, getting down to 68 tonight. And, well, tomorrow and Thursday, even Friday, looks like Saturday too, we're going to have some sporadic thunderstorms coming through. But tomorrow, a high of 87, low of 68, and then Thursday, we're back up to 87. So hot with some thunderstorms coming through. You are listening to 1320 WILS. Great to have you here. So President Trump yesterday agreeing to recertify the Iran nuclear deal. Let's talk to a man that understands what Iran's all about, because he's from Iran. He's a former certified Sharia lawyer, escaped the country, and now lives in the U.S. Daniel Akbari is with us here on WILS. Daniel, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me on, sir.
Yeah, and you, how long have you lived in the U.S. now? About how long?
About the time we spoke.
Yeah, like, I mean, how long has it been since you were last in Iran, would you say?
Oh, I came to the United States in 2008. 9 years
ago. We're talking about 9 years, almost 10 years. And
yes.
Was it everything you imagined it would be when you came here?
At the time I was immature, I thought, you know, it's, everything is in order. Now I came and saw, you know, politics.
Mm-hmm.
Different types of, you know, just besmarting other parties and all the time focusing on attacking others rather than improving the country. Like, liberals have done it a lot.
Mm.
Academia, I tried, you know, many times to establish courses in academia. I saw that they are not, they don't respect intellectual diversity. They just, mm-hmm. you know, try to have different colors and genders in their faculty rather than intellectual diversity.
Yeah.
They were totally anti-conservative. That's what I saw, and it was kind of like, you know, disappointing. But
right.
I'm happy I'm here and land of opportunity for my kids for their future.
So I'm curious, is there something when you see people take a liberal position on Iran and say that we shouldn't be so militaristic in dealing with them, is there something they don't get about Iran?
I think their knowledge about Iran is not that good. So the thing is, attacking Iran for sure is going to have many, you know, problems. Like, you know, many Arab countries or small countries who are U.S. allies are around Iran. If they come to the point of suicide mission things, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be devastating for the whole region.
Okay.
But the thing is, now for recertifying the Iranian nuclear program, I think if that's true or not, we should forget about it. We should focus on if that's reasonable for today.
Now, did you think the deal was a good one? Was that a good move for us to make that deal with Iran?
No, it wasn't at all. But today we have remained with no other option than military options. So if the administration would not have recertified Iranian's program,
mm-hmm.
the only option that they had was just to attack Iran, because they would say, okay, they violated the deal, so the only thing that we could do now is to attack him, and that would
okay.
that would not be what we want now.
So do you trust that Iran is holding up their side of this nuclear deal?
I think they go kind of slower, but in long run, they are aiming to get the atomic bomb because they think that's going to guarantee their future to remain as an Islamic country in that region and become more powerful. Without nuclear atomic bomb or something, or at least ballistic missiles,
mm-hmm.
they are going to be crippled.
Okay. So you're saying it's a defensive measure? It's not that they're looking to destroy Israel, that kind of thing?
I think at the beginning they want to make themselves to remain powerful, and then slowly they are going to empower Lebanon and also Hamas, and slowly go ahead destroying Israel, not probably just by military attack right away, but just by weakening Israel over time,
mm-hmm.
and then probably attacking them.
Okay. Why do they have that obsession with Israel? They're certainly not right next door. Why are they so obsessed in destroying Israel?
I think because Muhammad at the beginning said that Jews need to be eliminated,
mm-hmm.
and all Islamic countries had the same position, but Iran and some small other countries have remained in that strong position because they have already promised the Iranians that this is our goal.
Mm-hmm. And do you think the average Iranian, is that something they really can't wait to see happen?
I think above 75% of Iranians hate to see any war. They are tired of Islamic regimes, foreign policy, and Middle Eastern policy, but
mm-hmm.
The ones who have power 20% or something, they are doing crazy things, you know, those ambitious things to get the whole region under their own control.
Because, I mean, right now the media is so obsessed with Russia and Trump, we don't hear really very much about Iran in the news. What is anything really changing right now in Iran?
I think, yes, between president that has been elected by Iranians, there is a clash between him and the supreme leader. And by the way, about days ago, his brother was imprisoned, his brother who was so close to the president. So we see that clash coming. People are voting for a specific, you know, officials, and those officials are becoming, you know, more aggressive against supreme leader. Things are not going well there.
They're going against, isn't that suicidal to do that?
It is dangerous, but they think that they have the support of the majority, and the supreme leader are afraid of the majority because they think if the United States support those majority, it's going to be another revolution or something, and probably after that, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all of the countries are going to attack Iran and probably make it another Syria.
Really? And do you feel that in Iran there is that much, are we at a point now where there's a potential second revolution of some kind?
Yes, Iran has many, many different groups in it, the Kurdish people, Turkish, Baluch, and I'm afraid that the future of Iran is going to be like Syria because those different tribes are going to fight for their secession, and at the same time, our countries around Iran are going to support them, like Saudi Arabia, as I said, Turkey, Pakistan. They are going to support those groups to divide Iran.
So are we, here in the U.S., are we, with our interests, are we better off seeing that happen?
I think Iranian Americans look for that because, anyway, in a strong Iran, and a strong Islamic Iran, is going to be dangerous for the region and the whole world ultimately. If they go toward democracy, that would be different. But at this point, that Iran is run by mullahs, you know, and a powerful Iran means a powerful Islamic regime that do not respect human beings, and that's dangerous. I think in their heart, Israelis, Turkish, Arabs, Americans, they all want Iran to be seceded.
Yeah. I mean, can Iran drop the whole Islamic fixation and become more secular without falling apart as a country?
There is no such a thing. I think the future is going to be like what happened to Assad in Syria, you know, fighting the fight between different groups. And if it comes to the point of democracy, the result would be the same because those tribes are going to say we are going to have autonomy and run our own areas. And the
it's not a matter of the Islamic extremist kind of position. It's not the fact that it's run by mullahs. It's just that they want to have their own say. Is that it?
Yes, because those tribes do not care that much about the system that is run by central government, by Shia government, because those tribes mostly are Sunni and pro mostly Saudi Arabia than pro the supreme leader, like Baluch people. They are more pro-Taliban than pro the Tehran regime.
That sounds so complicated. I guess, you know, we just see it as one solid country in one position, but it sounds so complex. So what, it seems like right now any type of attempted revolution gets smashed down in Iran. What would change that if there's another attempt?
We had that opportunity about 7-8 years ago, and Obama didn't attack. If Obama had supported the revolution, mullahs had gone without any problem. But today, Iranians are afraid of uprising because they assume if they uprise and central government become weakened, probably, you know, the ISIS or other extremists from overseas are going to attack. And, you know, because they don't want to become like Syria, they are just submitting to the central government and try to remain quiet and not to revolt. And that's dangerous.
They're just afraid of the potential chaos. And do you agree that could very well, I mean, that's a likely scenario, just complete chaos and refugees fleeing Iran if something were to happen?
It is. And the thing is, to me, Islamic ideology is the source of that chaos, especially in the region. And they are transferring their problems also to Europe through Italy and, you know, Libya, to sending, you know, immigrants there. And we are also suffering from that problem. Canada is suffering. You know, all around the world, Australia the same. They all are suffering because of that ideology in that region.
Yeah, and what percentage of Iranians do you think are actually highly religious or extreme in their viewpoints?
They should be less than 30%. Above 50% of them are either agnostic or atheist. They just, you know, say bad things about Quran and Muhammad all the time. But from outside, people see them as Iran as a religious Sharia people. You know, the country is run by Sharia. But now the majority do not care and hate Islamic ideology. But, you know, they are kind of like prisoners in the hand of mullahs.
Incredible. In this nuclear deal, then, your feeling is that they're moving towards a nuclear weapon anyway? Is that what's happening?
Anyway, they are doing it, but the thing is the world cannot attack Iran because they have the support of Russia. At the same time, they are ready to do some suicide in the region, attacking Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and make the region to become like a hell. Mm-hmm. And the United States, for example, the current administration cannot do that because it's going to be, the administration is going to be attacked by liberals for foreign policy. Oh, you made this, you made that. Mm-hmm. So they're afraid of acting, you know, out of control, not to give that opportunity to liberals to attack the administration.
So you're saying the mullahs, that they're suicidal in their way, that ultimately if push comes to shove, they're willing to destroy the whole region?
If they come to that point that they see themselves in that danger, existential threat, they act like that. But not now. Now they're enjoying money and oil. But if they come to that point that they cannot do anything for sure, they are going to do some suicidal thing.
Interesting. But so if they have a nuclear weapon, you believe they would launch nuclear weapons at, what, Israel and other U.S. allies in the region?
Iran, not now. If they get it, I think for sure they are going to use it as a threat rather than using it. Okay. I think they, against Israel, they mostly try to weaponize Hamas and, you know, get closer to Israel's border rather than attacking them directly. But Iran wants that nuclear, you know, weapon to just, you know, push back against the United States and Israel.
And there's no, so in terms of any real peace or any kind of situation where they just will accept Israel, will accept us, that will never happen, is that it?
If we see these majorities who are agnostics and, you know, like secular, if they come to power, if by vote they just bring officials, more peaceful officials to power, that might happen. But the thing is, the whole Iranian constitution gives the power to the supreme leader, and anyway, the elected official is powerless. And it's hard to see that we see a peaceful transition. Yeah. Ultimately, there is going to be a big clash.
It's Daniel Akbari, certified Sharia lawyer, an Islamic expert for the Supreme Court of Iran, now lives in the U.S. almost a decade now. Daniel Akbari on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.